I don't really know how this is gonna work. This passage has really been on my mind all week. I've been really thinking about Ottoman Mitchell dedicating this baby, and this scripture's been on my mind, and I really couldn't get away from it, and I don't know how it's gonna work. Amen. So we may be out of here in a hurry. Amen. Amen. Lunch may be served soon. I didn't see Sister Renee. Glad to have Sister Renee. Sister Jessica. Glad to have Sister Renee. I didn't see y'all. Y'all's hid amongst the stuff. Amen. In the first book of Samuel chapter 1. I've got rather a long reading. Hey, I do want to say, tonight we'll have a little basket over here, and when we receive our offering tonight, we're going to have a little basket. You don't have to put your name on it, but we want the number of the chapters that you read this week, because we're going to compile them all together. And if I'd have been well enough, I'd told you that Wednesday night. I'm going to thank Brother Cotton for taking care of service for me Wednesday night, preaching, and done a wonderful job. And I'd have told you Wednesday night, and I wasn't able to do it. So tonight, if you'll just write down how many chapters you read this week, don't have to put your name on it. Some folks don't want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. Most times because it ain't doing nothing. but nevertheless, and we're gonna, then we'll compile them all together, and by Wednesday we'll have it on our board up here. Yes, Sister Cotton. Yeah, you read both of those. You'll have to read both of those if you get it through. If you get all your chapters through. But I guess when they've done that, they schedule that. You read a couple of chapters to your family. How many enjoying this Bible reading? About three of you. Well, that's good. Three honest people here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But anyhow, we thought it would challenge you. You know, you'll be surprised folks sit around in church all the life, never read the Bible through. That's a shame, I'm telling you. But we're kind of doing this, and I got a special gift, very special gift, to the one that finishes first. So you don't have to go exactly by that list. You know, in other words, if you wanna add some more to it. But I got a very special gift. I'm going to buy a dramatized Bible. That's the whole Bible dramatized on CD. And has anybody ever got to hear that? I mean, it is awesome stuff. Most of you have probably heard the New Testament. But I plan on getting the whole shebang to the one that reads through the quickest. And then I'm going to have a special gift for the one that reads the most chapters, because somebody might get through early and start over again. And boy, if you fall in love with this book,
right. All right. Yes.
Nothing like this book. All right. Well, you're going to get one chapter in today. I've got more. I've got more foundation than I got house. And 1 Samuel chapter 1. And there was a certain man of Ramathiah Zephophim. Good grief. Wouldn't you hate to fill that out on your job application? Of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu. Some of y'all are hunting for baby names. the son of Zuf and Ephrathite. He had two wives. That can always get a guy in trouble. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. When the time was a kind of offered, he gave unto Phinehas his wife, Peniah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And the adversary also provoked her. Her adversary was that other woman. To make her fret. And the Lord had, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah said unto her husband, then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose, and after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me and forget not and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, or was watching her. And now Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief, I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. When they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, returned and came and again unto their house to Ramoth. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she has said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your kindness and your goodness, Lord. Touch my mind and my lips and my heart. Oh, the ears of those that are hearing me today. God, I pray that somehow this will strike a chord in someone's heart. That someone may be changed even forever. We give your name the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning on the prayer that changed history. On the prayer that changed all history was changed by this one godly woman's prayer. Don't ever underestimate a prayer meeting. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer and the effectual working of prayer and the answer of prayer. Don't never think of that as a small thing. And I don't know how long that Hannah had been praying. The Bible does not tell us. But here yearly they would be going up to Shiloh. And Israel was in a terrible shape at that time. Eli was the priest. I don't know any gentler way to say this, but oh, Eli was backslid. Eli was backslid. And his boys was worse than he. And there Eli's wicked, evil boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they would, his folks would be coming to worship the Lord. They wouldn't even have the time to get the meat on the altar. Them sorry guys would be taking the meat right out of their hand, gorging themselves. And the Bible said that they would even lay in at wait for the women. They would come to worship the Lord. They'd commit lewd and licentious acts right in the threshold of the town. Such wicked people. Wicked people. And, you know, God put up with that for a while. Well, praise the Lord. He put up with that with them for a while. But I'm going to tell you, nobody's irreplaceable. Nobody's been around so long. Nobody reaches such a height and pinnacle. Nobody has such a pedigree that they're not irreplaceable. If I was to fall tomorrow, oh God help me that I never will. But if I was to fall tomorrow, amen, the kingdom is not dependent upon me.
That's right.
The church was in existence before I got here.
Amen.
Amen. And if you plant me in that graveyard out there, the church will go on. It's not dependent. God uses men. But he buries his workers. And his work goes on. But here these folks were so ungodly that finally a man of God just came out of nowhere. And we don't even know his name. But began to prophesy to Eli. And said, there's not going to be an old man living in your house. You're the last old man. Your seed's going to be cut off, and your boys are going to die young. And God's tired of what they're doing. And said, God's tired of you. Because you know what they're doing. And you put up with what they're doing. And you restrain them not. And God's not going to let you be guiltless because you've turned your head. Oh, God, help me. Dear Jesus, help me as the pastor of this church not to turn my head or close my eyes. Even if it's my family, oh, Lord, help me not ever do that. To bring the wrath of Almighty God. I don't wonder how many churches there are today. Never will forget, I was in prayer several years ago. One of the hardest messages I ever took to anybody. I prayed for some time, and every time I would pray, God would speak to me concerning this pastor. And I told the Lord, I said, I don't want to deliver this. I argued with God. I said, God, you let somebody else tell them. They're not going to accept this. And I don't want to do this. I know it's not going to make me a friend doing this. And after some season of prayer, I went to preach for this man, and it just come convenient where him and I was alone. And he told me, he said, Brother Epley, if the Lord ever talks to you about me, I wish you would tell me. I said, well, the Lord has talked to me about you. And said, I feel prompted for some time. But I don't feel like you're going to hear what I've got to say. And I'm afraid it's going to affect our relationship. But I'm going to give you what the Lord has given me. So the Lord told me to tell you not to go in the way of Eli. He said, if you continue doing what you're doing, and just ignoring what you're ignoring, that your house is going to wind up like the house of Eli. Well, he really didn't get upset. We wept together for a little while. And I prayed that after I left that it would change. Finally, another time came convenient. As his son got older and looked like it was in the works that his son was going to wind up with his church. I'm going to tell you, let me tell you a little something. Church is not family business.
Amen.
Ain't no family owns the church.
Amen.
And we got too many daddy called and mama called.
All right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
To try to keep the posterity going, well, glory to God. But the Lord is really running this thing.
Yes, he is.
He really puts one up and brings one down.
Yeah. Right.
It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when a man's son is called to preach. And it remains that way. That's wonderful. Thank God for that. And many times it happens like that because those children are raised around a godly influence and they're called and God, you thank the Lord for that. So I'm not taking away from that. There's wonderful churches that are pastored today by second and third and fourth generation Pentecostals. And I pray in good churches today. And I pray for there all the time. It's not that way. And it wasn't with this situation. Finally, I talked to him again. I said, your son does not believe what you're... He does not believe this message. Your son don't believe this message. And he got upset. He said, well, how do you know us? I just know we don't. You better talk to him. You better help him. If something don't happen and this ever failed in his hands, it'd be gone. It would be gone. This church would be gone. And time rocked on. Through time, our ways somewhat parted. And I wish I'd have been wrong. I wish I would have misheard the Lord. I wish that they would have listened and maybe done some restraining. But just a few days ago, we sat and listened to the mother of this young pastor weep and says, I wish we didn't even have to go there. It's nothing like there's maybe a handful of saints that one time was there, and the glory is gone and the anointing is gone and every semblance of holiness is gone in that church.
Right.
And they got a pastor, although he has the right last name, he doesn't have Dad's message. And he doesn't have Dad's conviction.
Right.
And he doesn't have his burden.
Oh,
well, praise the Lord. And the glory of the Lord is no longer in that place. I'm going to tell you, we don't have an unconditional promise with God. God will only walk with us if we walk with Him. And if we fail to walk with Him, then He'll fail to walk with us. He said, if you forsake me, I'll forsake you forever. So here Israel was in that horrid condition. Praise the Lord. Here Elkanah, who was a Levitical son himself. Only he wasn't one of Aaron's sons, but he was a Levitical son himself. But there was a different mix in this equation that changed the history of Israel. And it was a praying woman. It was a praying woman that was being taunted by this other woman that was making her life miserable. And as they would go to worship, and Elkanah would be giving his family their sacrifice and offerings to offer to the Lord, he would doubly give to Hannah because he loved her. He knew this time was so grievous to her. Finally, she's weeping and she's in grief. And Elkanah said, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? For this woman of destiny, this woman that was not going to take no for an answer, this woman that was going to change the whole history of Israel. Matter of fact, we're going to read her prayer of dedication. You talk about dedicating. She wound up dedicating her own young'un, I'm going to tell you. We read this second chapter of Samuel. And when we read it, it so mirrors Mary's prayer. But here Hannah is there. And that old fat, obese, backslid priest that had been so unconcerned about spiritual things. Even the lamp of the Lord had went out in the house of God. This old guy was there, even can I say something to you? Can I give you a little principle here? Be very careful what you have to say about the ministry in a negative way, even when they're not right. That's true. Because here was this old fella up there. He is allowing his boys to do what they wanted to do. And this guy, in truth, was backslid. But he's sitting up there. And this little woman that was barren, she's entreating the Lord. And his tears are rolling down her face. And she's in so much grief that the words are bottled up in her heart, that they can't even come out her mouth, that she's entreating the Lord, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, if you will give me a son, if you'll open my womb and Lord and move this curse off of me, give me a son." And this cold and indifferent, backslid priest got her attention and he looked at her and saw her mouth move and no sound come out. Accused her of being drunk. He was saying, "Get up and get out of here. Put away the bottle." But this humble woman said, "Oh, count me not as a daughter of Belial or a daughter of the devil. For I have not drunken wine or strong drink, but my heart is overcome with grief." "Oh, I've got to have a son. I've got to have a child. Lord, I wish that spirit would come on this church as a body. And we'd say, oh, God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. But Lord, let us be as the woman that cried, 'Give me children or else I die.' I wish there would be something birthed within our soul. Oh, God, we've got to have revival. We've got to have a move. We've got to have a stirring. We're not satisfied being where we're at." This woman, she said. And this priest, that was not what he ought to be, got the attention of God enough till he said, "I tell you what, you get up and go home. The Lord has answered your prayer." My. She gets up. Woo, praise the Lord. She knew all about Phineas and Hophni and Eli. But she wasn't praying to them. She is praying to the God they're supposed to be serving. But this one woman, woo, this one woman in a prayer meeting is going to change history forever. Well, praise the Lord. And after we read what a little bit she says in the next chapter, we don't have anything else from her. She kind of walks off one of the most important people in your Bible, in the history of your Bible, is in these two chapters here. And it's a praying woman that won't take no for an answer. It's a praying woman that while she is praying, amen, the priest even accuses her of being drunk. But she said, "You're not going to stop me. Amen. You're not going to discourage me. Amen. I'm on the horns of the altar. I'm going to pray till I get that prayer through." There's one more. change the history of Israel forever. Because she prayed, oh God, Lord, give us some Hannahs. Give us some Hannahs that will pray some Samuels into existence. Give us some Hannahs that will pray victories into existence. Give us some Hannahs that will pray deliverances. And I'm going to tell you, Mama. I'm going to tell you, Mama. If your children are not doing even like you think they ought to be doing, it ain't going to do you no good to be walking the floor and wringing your hand. Well, praise the Lord. And getting all frustrated. Hey. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll be a Hannah and you'll say, I'm standing the altar. I'm staying on my knee. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Pastor, get me a key made. Amen. I've got to get to the church. I've got to get in the prayer room. I've got to get in the altar. Things have got to change around my house. My enemy, my adversary has made fun of me. There's some of you, the devil has talked to you so long that your children are not going to do any different, that there's not going to be any change, that your son and daughter are going to drag your grandkids right into hell. Hey, but you need to get up on your hind legs and slide in the altar and say, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to take no. I'm going to stay at the altar till I get an answer.
Yes.
Don't give up. Oh, yeah. What a promise. My Lord, can you imagine? You folks that has little babies that's here, say 2 years and 2 years and under. You know, can you imagine what it'd be to nurse that baby till it got to its wean? The attachment that comes between a mother and her baby? This woman that has been barren all these years. God, I tell you what. Tell you what you do. If you'll give me this child, I'll give it to you. If you answer my prayer, I'll give it to you. There's some folks that's prayed for a better job and it's kept them out of the house of God.
Right. Amen.
There's some folks that's prayed for better things and it took them away from the house of the Lord.
Amen.
But maybe if you would preamble your prayer, God, you give it to me. And I'll give it back to you.
All right. Yeah.
You give it to me, Lord. I'll use it for you.
All right. Yeah.
Lord, you give me a talent. I'm going to be singing the songs of Zion.
All right.
You teach me how to play. And I'm going to be playing even the songs of Zion. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Whatever you give me, God, I'm going to give it back to you.
Yeah.
Here, the baby's born. Can you see that, Mama? As she's kissing that boy and nursing that boy. Samuel's your name. Samuel, you're not going to understand this. Mom, I know you can't understand what Mama's saying. But I'm going to tell you this every day. You're a gift from the Lord. Mama wasn't supposed to have you, and you're a gift from the Lord. And I know you're not going to understand it. But when I get through weaning you, and you're going to get on your own, I'm taking you to the house of the Lord. And I'm going to give you back to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. You're a gift from God. And therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Listen to Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving. In 1 Samuel chapter 2. My, what a woman of prayer. Oh, God, let some Hannahs be birthed in this assembly. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. And there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken. And they that stumble are girded with strength. And they that were full hired themselves out. Hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Said, but I learnt this in prayer. The Lord killeth. And he maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. He maketh the poor. He maketh the rich. He bringeth the low and lifteth up. Listen to this. He raises up the poor out of the dust. And lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. To set him among the princes. To make them to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give a strength unto his king. And shall exalt the horn of his anointed. My, what a prophetic prayer. She prayed. Can you imagine how it was to hand that boy off to Eli? Backslid Eli with his immoral, good-for-nothing sons. But see, Eli didn't answer her prayer. God did.
Right. Amen.
And she wasn't praying to Eli. She was praying to God.
Amen.
And she knew that the Lord gave her this child, he would take care of it. But she was a woman. And she was a mother. Can you imagine? That little boy is stretching his arms out. He's never been away from his mother. Remember, Samuel, remember what I told you? Remember? Her heart swelling and breaking. How do you know that? I know that because she's a woman. Nothing laying on the altar. Nothing laying on the altar will ever remain there. God, You gave it to me, God. Mama loves you, Samuel. Mama loves you, Samuel. Samuel, you don't belong to Mama. You belong to the ages. Samuel, you don't belong to Mama. You belong to the God that heard Mama's prayer. And I was looking in this story. I was looking in this story. Of course, later in 2:21, the Lord visited Hannah. She conceived. She bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. In verse 21, it said, "And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with the Lord and also with men." 3:1. "After the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Listen to this. "For the word of God was precious." That means it was rarely given. They wouldn't get anything from the Lord because of the backslidness of Eli. And there was no open vision. And Samuel went to bed. He might have been growing, but I'm going to tell you what. You listen to me. You listen to me. He's not growing. He's not outgrowing his love for Mama. He's missing his mother. He's missing his mother because he is a child. He is not a superhuman. He is a child. Oh, I'm going to tell you it. And this, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't have a lot of patience with this charismatic Pentecostal bunch that's not willing to sacrifice anything and wanting to go back and pick up everything they ever laid down. They're willing to go back and pick up everything. And they're wanting you to give them 14 verses for everything. But that woman said, "You gave him to me, and I'm giving him to you." She woke up in the morning missing him. She went to bed missing him. "But I gave it to you, God." Can you imagine how it would be in being raised in that old house with old blind Eli and his old debauched boys? And Mama not there. One night he's laid down, and a voice rings in his room and says, "Samuel. Samuel." Yes. And the boy raises up and he goes into Eli's room. You know what? The voice of the Lord sounded so much like the voice of the preacher. He thought it was the preacher calling him. There's a little lesson in that too. Eli said, "Oh, I've not called you. Go back to bed." He goes back and he lays down. And Samuel. Samuel! And Samuel's up and he's back in Eli's room. "Yes, master. I've not called you," but something hits even old backslid Eli's heart. His mind goes back to that lady's prayer meeting. And how she had come and gave this boy to God. Said, Samuel, it's not I that called thee, but evidently it's the Lord. If he calls you again, why don't you say, here am I, Lord. And the voice came again, and the voice said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Oh, it was bad. It was bad news. God told how he was going to destroy the house of Eli. Verse 15 said, and Samuel lay until morning and opened up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he feared to show the vision to Eli. And he told him, watch verse 19. He didn't hold back anything. Verse 19. And Samuel grew. That's the third time. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. And did let none of his word fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. God raised this young man up to be the great prophet of the Lord in Israel. He's going to be so great. He's going to be so great. He's going to anoint the first king. And he's going to be that king's consultant. He's going to be so great, he's going to anoint Israel's second king. Best I can figure this out, somewhere around 20-some years, not only did Samuel reign as a prophet, but Samuel judged Israel as a ruler. Then he made Israel, he made intercession for Israel as a priest. So he's a prophet. He was a priest. And he was a judge. And the nation was shaped by this man. The nation was shaped by this. Here was a man that didn't care to look the old king in the face and said, well, if you've done all the Lord said to do, what's this I hear lowing in my ear? Said, don't you know it's better to obey than to sacrifice? Said, don't you know stubbornness is as idolatry and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? And he said, because I've rejected the word of the Lord has rejected thee from being king of Israel. But can you see old Saul is proud and haughty and strutty as he was, like an old peacock? Old Samuel looked at him and said, you know what? And God's got a better man than you. That's going to be the king of Israel. You're not irreplaceable, old buddy. God's punched your card. God sends old Samuel down to Jesse's house to pour the oil on Jesse's head, on David's head. What a prophet. What a prophet. He goes on till the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel. And it said, and Samuel died, 25:1. Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented and buried him in his house at Ramoth. And David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. My, what a legacy. Those years that Samuel judged. Then he nearly lived to the end of Saul's, pretty close to the end of Saul's reign. So you're talking somewhere maybe between 50 to 60 years that this man reigned. Walk with God. Change the landscape of Israel. Change the history of Israel. He was going to be the one that he anointed David. He anointed Saul. He was the man of God that sought God for Israel. And there would have never been a Samuel if there hadn't been a woman that said, I'm not going to take no for an answer. Israel's history would not have been the same if there had not been, I'm glad in the time of a backslid priesthood, there was a praying woman that held on to the altar. God, I have a son. I can't be barren. My enemy's oppressing me. Hannah's house became full with the boys and the girls and the grandchildren. They was there to give her comfort. But Samuel was always, there was always a distance, Brother Cotton. That distance was always there because she gave him to the Lord. Anybody want to give anything to the Lord today? This is kind of a different way to end this service. If Brother Daniel would, man, I'd like for you to sing that song again. Amen. Nothing laid on the altar. Oh, I wish there was a praying woman here in this church. Wish there was a praying man in this church. Said they're making fun of me, but I'm still praying. I prayed last year and it didn't happen. But I'm back with Elkanah and I'm back praying again. My spirit is so broke. Only my mouth can move. I can't even make any sound. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Go right ahead, brother. Thank you, Jesus. This morning. Sorry, Lord, I've been an Indian giver. I told you I'd lay it there, but I took it back home with me. But I'm laying it there today. Give us some folks that have changed history, changed destinies. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. I want to give him my all. How about you?